Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. On the broadcast today, we will continue our present series, which we have entitled Further Studies in Selected Psalms. And the psalm which we have chosen for our consideration today is Psalm 103. And I do think that if you have your Bibles near at hand, you would benefit materially by turning to the 103rd Psalm and following us in our reading. Now, this may not always be possible. Perhaps some will be listening as they travel in automobiles, and it won't be convenient to turn to the Scriptures. But if you can, I think that you will benefit by turning to the Scriptures. The 103rd Psalm could well be entitled God's Goodness to His People, for that's exactly what it is. It is one of the most wonderful psalms, and we'll just read it for a ways before we make comment. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life, from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In this Psalm of David, of course, and it is written by David, He has His people in mind. But can't we carry this Psalm right into our day and age? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He placed our sins and our iniquities on Christ, as we read in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Christ of course, the iniquity of us all. He's not dealt with us. He dealt with Christ. And oh, the judgment was severe. He could say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He endured the punishment of God for your sins and for my sins as our substitute. As our substitute, so that we wouldn't have to suffer the eternal penalty for those sins. And I think of this wonderful verse, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And then we have three immeasurable expressions of the love of God. We read in verse 11, For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Remember these words, these companion words, please, as and so. Here they are in three verses in succession. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. For as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. A lovely triad of verses, beginning with as and ending with so. Now, down in verse 17, we have another immeasurable quality of God's love. For the mercy of the Lord, and the mercy of the Lord is an emanation of His love and a manifestation of His love. For the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him. and his righteousness unto children's children. Now think of a moment, if you will, please. When we talk about the love of God, we have to use immeasurable terms, because that love cannot be measured. God is love. We read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And that love takes so many forms. And now, this is expressed in various translations. I'm using the Authorized Standard Version, the Authorized Version. And now we have the word merciful in verse 8, the word mercy in verse 11, and the word mercy in verse 17, in connection with these immeasurable qualities and quantities of God's love, the expressions of them. Now, in the New American Standard, the word for merciful in verse 8 is compassionate, and in verse 11 and 17, the words are loving-kindness. In the New International Version, it's compassionate in verse 8, and it's just simply love in verse 8 and verse 17. Darby has it merciful in verse 8, loving-kindness in verses 11 and 17. But they're immeasurable. Let's think about these immeasurable qualities, if you please. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Can you measure this distance? In one sense, you can. You say, in one sense, you can? Yes. Heaven is a place. Christ is there. He's a real man with bones and flesh. And in his hands, the scars, not the scars, the prints of the nails, it never healed. We will see him in the glory, and those wounds will be just as he left the cross. There was no blood in his body to heal them. We will see those fresh wounds of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as the heaven is high above the earth, now, heaven is a place. It's not the beautiful Isle of somewhere. It's a place. Christ is there, and a place has a location. How far is it from the earth? I don't know. I have no idea, but it can be measured. It can be measured. I do not know the measurement. But I don't believe that that's quite the thought here. In verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy, his loving kindness, his love toward them that fear him." I think it's the moral difference. It's the moral distance between heaven and earth that is the thought here. Can that be measured? It cannot be measured. God is so high above us, and we have sunk so low in our sin. The separation is so, the cleavage is so marked, it cannot be measured. But so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Isn't that a lovely comparison? You can't measure the love of God. And then we read in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." He took them off from us, and he placed them on Christ, and Christ bore them into death. And then he says here, "As far as the east is from the west." How do you measure the distance between east and west? You can't measure that distance. East is east, and west is west, and ne'er the twain shall meet. If you go east, you can continue around the world and you're still going east. You never get there. You can go west and go clear around the world and you're still going west. East and west never meet. You know, the scripture is so accurate, so meticulously accurate. It doesn't say, "As far as the north is from the south, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Because there is a place in this earth that's called north, and there is a place that's called south, and you can't go any farther north. You can't go any farther south. All the meridians lead to that point, and any direction that you look from those points is south. The only way you can go east and west is to go, you know, in a circle one direction and a circle of the other direction. Now, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. What does that mean? It means I'll never see them again. God will never recall them again. They're gone. They were taken care of on the cross. That barrier sin that would keep me out of heaven and that would keep you out of heaven was dealt with by God on the cross to his divine satisfaction. Trusting, of course, that you'd be satisfied with his settlement. I'll settle. Won't you? I'll settle in God's terms. I'll take Christ's death for me and I'll own him as my Savior. And thank God for that. Now we read down in verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. When did time begin? Time began with routine cycles, the rotation of the earth. Eternity is immeasurable, from everlasting to everlasting. The mercy of God is ours, is it's upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His love will never end. God's love is immeasurable. Any quality that you, any comparison you try to make with God's love, you'll find that it's immeasurable, and we can bask in that love and call our Father our Father indeed, because he loved us and made his sons. We were born into his family by means of the new birth, as we were born into the family of men with sinful natures, so we must be born into the family of God with unsinful natures. And when we put our trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God put the life of Christ within us. Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the life that takes us to heaven. We must be born again. We must be born into God's family. And that birth takes place the moment that we place our faith in Christ. The Spirit of God does the work. Don't ask me how he does it. He does it. That's his business. Now, please note, the measurements of God, as we have said before, and it bears repetition, are immeasurable, the measurements of his love and the manifestations of his love. Now, we have not completely exhausted Psalm 103. I recommend that you just read this psalm and revel in what you have and what God has given you. The psalm of the goodness of God to his people. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the 103rd Psalm and for these lovely psalms that we have selected. All of them are lovely, but we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.